Some time ago, as some of you know, I was an evangelical or Pentecostal pastor, and often I would teach what they call probationary pastors would come to me to learn how to preach and how to do a homily. And I'd always say this, always be prophetic in your teaching. Be prophetic in the sense that hear what God is saying to the church today. Try and hear from heaven. Anybody could just churn out a sermon, a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, 4 point sermon. Try and hear what God is saying to the church today. And I'll often say, you should preach with your Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. Because people are hearing things and reading things that the Word of God has got something to say about. And this is what we've been trying to do in Encountering Christ. Preaching relevant words from heaven that can challenge us, comfort us, confront us. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus came with a very strong, challenging message. Father Jerry, a couple of things he said. Very few will stand up for Christ. Very few will stand up for Christ. And he also said, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? Remember I shared with you a few weeks ago, I think it was, I was working in a bank for many years. I used to get such stick for all the people in the bank because I witnessed for Jesus. I used to read my Bible during Bible study. And after 5 years working in that bank, I went to a church service and saw one of the young guys playing the keyboard. I never knew he was a Christian. They never knew he was a Christian. And I was so surprised myself. He was afraid to stand for Jesus. And many people today, this is very prophetic, brothers and sisters. Many people today, including our clergy and friends and family and good people who love God, are afraid. They're afraid to speak the truth for fear of being rejected, as Father Jerry said. And many today will decline. We saw all through the referendums in this country, many will decline to speak the truth in order to be loved and accepted. And many will tell the truth and will be hated and rejected. I remember during the same-sex marriage, my stepchildren telling me they were afraid to say anything in the pub or the restaurant, wherever they were friends or at work. They were afraid to say anything because it's all for equality. And there are coming days, all of us will have to stand for the truth. And this message has been bubbling in my heart for 10 days. Lord, give me the wisdom to say this. Ten days ago, Jerry sent me a link of Father Sean Shea. It's went viral, this priest is preaching the gospel. And after I read the article, it was breaking news. Peter Herbeck emailed me from USA, sent a YouTube link and said, Terry, have you heard this about this Irish priest standing for the gospel in Ireland? Jerry had just sent me the link. And I was reading. And then I heard the interview. If I was to mention Father Sean Shea to you, hands up, who knows what I'm talking about? Isn't that amazing? Hands up those who don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Hands up those who never put their hands up for anything. I'm looking. Some of you Irish just don't put your hands up for anything. I asked Seamus, I just want you to hear this. This is a 30-minute interview, so I just want you to hear a 2-minute interview for this priest, and we need to pray for him. Listen to it for two minutes.
Father Sean Sheehy's sermon still creating waves this morning. The Bishop of Kerry informing him that he was off all Mass until the return of the parish priest in Listowel, who was on pilgrimage at present. Father Sheehy rejecting that and rejecting the criticism of his sermons. In a moment, we'll hear from Father Sean Sheehy in response to the criticism, the people walking out of the church on Sunday, St. Mary's Church in Listowel, and other issues to do with his sermon. But first, here's a little bit of what he said in Listowel, in St. Mary's Parish Church at the weekend.
What is so sad today is you rarely hear about sin, but it's rampant. It's rampant. And we see it, for example, in the legislation of our governments. We see it in the promotion of abortion. We see it, for example, in the example of this lunatic approach of transgenderism. We see it, for example, in the promotion of sex between two men and two women. That is sinful. That is mortal sin. And people don't seem to realize it. But it's a fact. It's a reality. And we need to listen to God about it, because if we don't, then there's no hope for those people. And so God is also telling you and me today, look, you have a responsibility to seek out those who are lost. You have a responsibility to call people to an awareness of the fact that sin is destructive. Sin is detrimental. And sin will lead us to hell. When we honor the saints on the first of this coming month, we honor people who are saints. Why are they saints? Because they repented and because they sought forgiveness. As somebody said one time, heaven is full of converted sinners. And so today, God says to us, I have come to call sinners. But if you don't admit you're a sinner, then you're not listening to my call, and I can't do anything for you, because it's a two-way street. Now, there are people, you see, who won't like to hear what I'm saying. But the day you die, you will find out that what I'm saying is not what I invented, it's not what I came up with, it's what God is saying. And the day you die, you will find out that is the truth. Our prayer for people is that it won't be too late for people. But how will people know that God wants to forgive them if we don't tell them? How will people who are lost be found if we, as God's people, don't call them and say, look, God loves you. He has come to call sinners, but he wants you to have life and have it to the full. Because that's what he wants. He wants it to live life to the fullest. But since he's the author of life, we can only live it through, with, and in his grace, through the power of his Spirit. Yeah. So today, we thank God for calling.
Isn't that powerful? Yeah. Thank God for Father Sean. And I pondered on that message. And I prayed and I said, Lord, why is there such a reluctance in our church today to preach the truth? And later he goes on that the bishop has excluded them from all masses. And he challenged the bishop. And he told the bishop, you're not teaching the truth. You're not teaching the truth of the Word of God and the catechism of the Catholic Church. We have a responsibility to tell the truth. But this is what God put into my heart. Satan is a master of deception. He deceived Eve in the garden by saying, did God really say? Satan is after God's word. First thing he says to her, did God really say? God's word, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And as a message of love, that God's mad and your bad gospel is not the gospel. And many people have heard that, God's mad and you're bad. That's not the gospel. God is love. God is merciful. God is slow to anger. Just look at the world today. How slow God is in the world today. If it had been left to some of us, if it had been left to me, it would have been sorted a long time ago. I just have pushed a button here and pushed a button here. We'll just eliminate them and we'll eliminate that leader and we'll eliminate that football team as well, some football teams. But thank God, God is so merciful, slow to anger, rich in mercy. And every other religion out there wants to protect their God and this honor of their God. And Islam, you dare say a word against the Prophet, there'll be a contract out in your life. They'll burn your house down. All the gods out there, they do everything to deify their God. What does our God do? Our God presents himself on the cross. The God who was mocked and laughed at and jeered. Remember a few weeks ago I said, the God of the universe allowed himself to be slapped. He allowed himself to be jeered. And they cried out, if you really are the Son of God, come down. Come down from that cross if you really are. Little did they know, it was because he was the Son of God, he could not come down from that cross because he was doing business for our salvation. That we would have eternity with him forever. So why is it that people reject the gospel? Why is it they don't realize they need God? Every week we have got people coming to this altar, humbly declaring, Lord, I need you. Maybe you've been saying that this week. Lord, I need you. Under my voice, or while I speak, there's people dying. There's children sick. Parents, grandparents crying out, Lord, I need you. And all of us here that have had that experience with Christ, we know that day that we fell to our knees and we said, Lord, I need you. But this is what I want to say to all of us as missionary disciples. Never forget that you and I were in that same place of many of those people who have rejected Father Sean's message, who don't understand Father Sean's love and compassion, which to tell the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 15, speak the truth in love. If I love you, I'll tell you the truth. And people that know the truth that don't tell you, don't really love you. They love themselves. But they're more afraid of losing your friendship than telling you the truth. A true friend will risk your friendship by telling you the truth. But many people who know the truth won't dare mention it to those who they work beside, who they do life with. And here's this man, this parish priest, who has got the courage to proclaim the good news. It's the good news. It's not the bad news. It's the good news. But the reason, the number one reason, the fathers of the church tell us this, teach us this, The number one reason why people don't see the need for the Lord, because they don't want to give up the lifestyle. They don't want to give up because repentance is not a very nice word to a lot of people, because it means change. I don't want to change. It's like St. Augustine used to say, Lord, make me chaste, but not now. The famous prayer. Make me chaste, Lord. Make me a good person, but not now. I'm enjoying my sin at the moment. And many of us have been there. And many of us have the responsibility, like Father Sean, to fill this place with lost people who are not going to get judged, who are not going to feel any condemnation in here. Just the love of God, the love of Christ. And I'm appealing to everybody that's a mission of disciples. And everybody hearing my voice, don't ever forget that you were once lost. I've been in churches all over the world. I've been in company with people who were great Bible teachers, but they didn't have any love. They had no love in their heart. I remember hearing a preacher preaching with such fire and passion, but every word of it was condemnation. It was the truth. A lot of it was the truth. But there was no love. You can be 100% right, but wrong. You can win the argument, but lose the soul. And this may be just a wake-up call for all of us that maybe we're passionate and fire for the gospel and to reach our loved ones and our family and our friends. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, in the end, only three will last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And maybe we just need to take that in. And remember that the Apostle Paul said to many of the Corinthians, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, idolaters, drunkards, such were the like were you. He reminded them, you were once a sinner. Don't forget, you too needed that redemption and that gentleness and respect. Peter the Apostle writes, always be ready to be prepared to give an answer for those who ask you about your hope, but always with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. The Bible says a gentle tongue can break a bone. I find that hard sometimes. A soft answer turns away wrath. And many people that you do life with don't realize they need the Lord. They've no idea they need the Lord. They're living for today. They've heard the gospel, God's mad, you're bad, and they think, I'm off. I'll live my life. And many people think because they're good people, and many people are good people. As Father Jerry says, there's many good atheists. Good living, kind, and very charitable. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Doesn't. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's the gospel. And it is a gospel of love. And that's why I had to share this with you, because what we heard from Father Sean is prophetic of Ireland. The amount of abuse this man got from radio interviews, from the press, for telling the truth. Remember, I shared a few weeks ago, John chapter 8, verse 40. Jesus said, "You're trying to kill me because I'm telling you the truth." The Apostle Paul writes the same in Galatians 4, 16. "You're trying to kill me. I'm just trying to tell you the truth." That's where we are as a church. And it's Satan's strategy to challenge the very word of God. What God has already settled can't be changed. It's not up for debate. This is where we are as a church. Mixture. We have mixture within our church. Criminologists say this: the easiest way and the fastest way to kill somebody is to poison them. Poison their food. Just poison their food. It's easy. Satan did that a way back in the Garden of Eden. He poisoned their food. Did God really say? So he brings a little bit of mixture into the word of God. And people take that as God's word, but it's not God's word. A half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. And many, many people are believing a gospel that's not the real gospel. It's not the true gospel. And many people have rejected a gospel that God is mad and you're bad. Gospel, that's not the gospel. And no wonder they're rejecting that gospel. God's mad and I'm bad. What chance? But the Bible clearly tells us that God loves us. God doesn't just love us. He so loved the world. Let me just read it to you. And these are the words of Jesus. Sometimes we forget when we read the scriptures. Jesus said this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's good news. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen plainly that what God has done has been done through God. And the reason why many people don't want to come to Jesus, because we've exposed the lifestyle. Have you ever been in the company of somebody very holy? Something happens. Sometimes I go into the local pub to watch Celtic, and instantly they stop swearing. Instantly, a lot of them actually tell you, "Sorry about that." There's something about us as saints that we carry the presence of God wherever we go. Christ is in us. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that's where you and I were once. I remember a young drug addict saying to me years ago, "I have to give up this, I have to give up that, I have to give up." I said, "The only thing you have to give up, son, is hell. That's the only thing you have to give up. God will deal with the rest. And sometimes we try to get people to change their lifestyles before they change their heart. And we judge them. They don't know they need the Lord. They don't know that their lifestyle is wrong. They don't want to give it up. Because that means change. And that's a hard gospel. But unless your heart converted, it's a big ask for anybody to give up. To give up the lifestyle. My brother Marky is an alcoholic. You hear me saying this? Every week I bring him to this altar. And Marky once said to me, "Terry, get the hell out of my life." I said, "Marky, that's what I'm trying to do. Get the hell out of your life. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Is get the hell out of your life." So all of us as mission disciples, when we leave this place during the week, always have gentleness and respect and maybe a wee bit of humour. The Apostle Paul says, "Be all things to all men." To the Romans, I'm a Roman. To the Jews, I'm a Jew. To the Gentiles, to the pagan, I'm a pagan. I'll do all things. I'm all things to all men to win them for Christ. And even says, even with a flavour of wit. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have a bit of humour. Is that okay? We don't have to be weird. We can be naturally supernatural in reaching the lost. And I pray, my prayer is this, that all of us will get that revelation that the people that we're trying to evangelize don't realize they need the Lord. And I pray that many of the people that are maybe even hearing my voice will someday come to that point and they will pray that prayer, "Lord, I need you. I just need you, Lord, in my life." And let's remember our friends and our family that we're trying to reach, that we love them. Truth. That's not, please, if you've got a chance to write this down, it's recorded. Truth that's not undergirded by love makes the truth repulsive and the bearer of it obnoxious. Just go to listen to some street preachers. Truth that's not undergirded by love makes the truth repulsive and the bearer of it obnoxious. Speak the truth in love. And let's remember Father Sean. Let's remember, because later on it tells us that loads of people walked out during the service. They just got up and walked out. They couldn't bear to hear the truth. And he was saying, God wants you to have a life. John 10:10, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Remember that prayer you prayed once, "Lord, I need you." I remember when my baby was dying, I prayed that, "Lord, I need you." Pray the gap that we would come to that realization that those that we're trying to evangelize don't even know how much they need the Lord. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds. Blinds them. Lest the glorious gospel would shine. That's why we have to pray for them. Pray that the Lord will come and visit and take away that blindness, and they'll come to the point that you and I did many years ago and say that prayer, "Lord, I need you. I just need you, Lord." Shall we bow our heads and pray? Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a few minutes. Let Jerry sing this song over us.
"Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I need you. Oh, my righteousness, oh God.